Jesus wasn't bound by ropes or chains. He was bound by the love of the Father. And he was bound by the will of God. That's how he was bound. They didn't have to tie his hands. He was going anyway. He was bound by the love of the Father and by the will of the Father. And you know what? Jesus did all this for me. Can you say the same thing?
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus has been arrested as our study of John continues in chapter 18, verse 12. Here's Pastor Bob.
Jesus was arrested. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of soldiers, somewhere between 400 and 600 troops, heavily armed soldiers, with a few of the servants from the high priest and some of the leaders. They come out to arrest Jesus. Some of the disciples run away. Peter pulls out a sword to try to defend Jesus. Remember, he said he would. He said, "I would die for you, Lord. I'd give my life for you." So he did. He wasn't really good at it. And instead of cutting the guy's head off, he just slopped off his ear. And Jesus told Peter, "Thank you, Peter, but not now. Just put the sword away." And then he healed Malchus, the servant of the chief priest. He healed that ear. And they arrest him now. And that's where we take up. Then the band, that remember, that's not a group, a rock group, that is the 400 to 600 soldiers, and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Why do they have to tie him up? They didn't have to. He's going, as a matter of fact, who's in charge of the arrest? Jesus is. He tells them, let the disciples go. You want me, you got me, let everybody else go. He's in charge of his own arrest. But they tie him up. It looks better as you're walking them back into town. They led him away to Annas first. He was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that year. This is the only time in Jesus' public ministry, that his enemies were allowed to arrest him. Remember, every time they've tried, they couldn't do it. They did grab him, we're going to throw him off a cliff. But he said, no, it's not time yet. And he turned and he walked through the whole crowd. The only time in his public ministry, enemies were allowed to arrest him and tie his hands and take him away. Why? Well, it's what God wants now. Notice you and me, when it comes to doing God's will, we say, I don't like that, or I'm not comfortable with that, or that can't be God's will. That's going to be painful, or that's going to be ugly. That's going to make me look really unintelligent. That's going to embarrass me. And so we find ways out of it. Not Jesus. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, and it pleased Jesus to follow and trust. Now, somehow, by God's grace, you and I need to get there. From here. Our hearts need to get there from here. Where Jesus' heart is at, completely surrendered to God. They bound his hands, but as the old pastor put it, Jesus wasn't bound by ropes or chains. He was bound by the love of the Father, and he was bound by the will of God. That's how he was bound. They didn't have to tie his hands. He was going anyway. And you know what? Jesus did all this for me. Can you say the same thing? If you have Jesus in your heart, you can honestly say out loud, not boasting, but being grateful, Jesus did every bit of this for me. He did every bit of it for you. He did every bit of it for you if you are willing to humble yourself and say, I want Jesus too. I want him to wash me clean. Then it's done. It's a free gift. It's late at night. It's very dark outside. It's been a long physically and emotionally a long day. The disciples were so physically and emotionally exhausted, they could not keep their eyes open in the garden. When Jesus left the little group and he took Peter, James, and John a little further, and Jesus said, you wait right here. That group's there. You're right here. Pray with me. Jesus didn't sleep, though. Instead, he prayed in agony, remember, in that garden, sweating, as it were, drops of blood. That's the pressure, the emotional and spiritual and physical pressure on his body. Though right now, all of the disciples have fled. They've run away. Jesus is not alone. We are never alone. Is that good enough for you? Oh, sure, yeah, but no. It's just a yes or no. Is it good enough? Yeah, by God's grace, is good enough. He is with the Father is with him, and if you belong to Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, you are never alone, ever. Now, according to the Jewish law, the Word of God, according to the Jewish law, the high priest's office is for life. You're a high priest, and then once the high priest dies, someone next in line, usually family of some kind, if there are no more sons, then son-in-laws, etc. See how it works? So that's normal. But the Romans did not like that kind of power being held. Wherever the Romans were, they were the power. They had to be the powers that be. So the Romans didn't like the concentration of all that power in one person. So they frequently changed high priests. They say, okay, you're no longer high priest. Get out. You're in. How long? Till we get tired of you or until you mess up or both? So because Annas remained the power behind the throne of the high priest, they took Jesus to him first. They had to find some kind of holy trial. And so they go to the one that they consider the high priest, even though his son-in-law is the high priest that Rome put in. So they're going to take him here and then take him to his son-in-law, right? They're going to the real power first, Annas. He remained the power behind the throne. They took Jesus there first. It was Caiaphas, though, who gave counsel to the Jews. Remember, earlier on we read it, I think in chapter 13, it was somewhere in that area. Caiaphas gave the counsel to the Jews. It's expedient that one man should die for everybody. You know, that was a prophecy. He didn't even realize it, that one man, Jesus Christ, is going to die for all. And all can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, verse 15 says this. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Walked right in. They let him in, one of the disciples. But Peter, verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without, outside the gate. Then went out the other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and he spoke unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. So here's what's going on. Peter and John, this other disciple you'll see later on is John. Clearly it's John. He doesn't like to mention his name. He calls himself a couple times here, the disciple that Jesus loved. I like that title. You can call yourself that if you like. It's true. But John and Peter, they fled, but they didn't go far. They followed behind at a distance. Now Jesus is inside. John goes in. Peter can't get in. Little girl, the teen girl at the door, the slave girl, won't let him in. Did you hear me? I said Peter is outside. They wouldn't let him in. He should have stayed outside. He didn't belong in. He should have run away. He should have stayed away. God told he and John both to get out of here, go. And both of them disobeyed, didn't they? Look how weak the flesh is. Look at this, verse 17. Well, the guy came, John, and said, would you let my friend in? She lets him in. Then saith the damsel, the young teenage girl, that kept the door, she said to Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. What was Peter doing? Standing with them. What a dumb place to put yourself if you don't want someone to recognize you. In the firelight, Mr. Peter gets an F in thinking. But we're not laughing at him, because what do? The same things. We get ourselves right in the big middle of stuff. When God said, don't go in there, where are we at? I'm already in. What do I do now? I said, never mind, Bob. The young girl, the damsel, servant girl, she recognizes Peter. And I'll paraphrase it. Aren't you one of this man's disciples? She recognizes Peter as a disciple of Jesus. Peter answers back instantly. The language is, I am not. Let me say it in American. No way. You got the wrong, not me. No, of course not. Look at this face closer. No. Jesus told Peter and the other disciples, watch and pray. Pay attention and be in prayer that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know we think we're brave. We think we're a little more spiritual than the next, and we can handle it. I've been going to Bible studies since I can spell Bible. And so we pretty much think we've got this, and we don't have it. The spirit indeed is willing, but our flesh is weaker than we want to give any credit to. Well, we really think we're something and we're nothing. And that's what Jesus tried to tell Peter. Let me read to you just the opposite of what Peter did. Let me read to you. It is Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man or woman, the individual, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. He's standing at the fire with every one of these people who want Jesus dead. That's not the company he should be in. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Jesus said, run. Watch out, pray. Don't enter in. Here's what ungodly counsel says. Go on. Nobody will know it's you. Check it out. You know, that shows you love Jesus. Just go on in there and hang out and see what you can find out. That's the ungodly. Blessed is the individual that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So now we go to verse 19. Meanwhile, inside the house, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered and said, I spoke openly to the whole world, to anybody that would listen. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort to. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why are you asking me what I taught? Ask them which listened to me what I have said to them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers, one of these, hairy Roman soldiers, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. He slapped him across the face, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus said to him, if I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why did you hit me? I can't even imagine the look Jesus had looking at that soldier, but I bet the soldier felt about that tall. I'll tell you what I mean. High priest asked Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. They're looking for a crime. The high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and teaching. Jesus simply says this, I did nothing in secret. When I taught, none of my teaching was in secret or hidden. Publicly, in the presence of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, in other words, and the people, in the synagogues and the temple. I love the question Jesus asks him. Jesus says, this is a trial. The people listen to me. Where are your witnesses? They'll tell you what I said. I see you have no witnesses here. Where are the people? Ask them. Where are they? There aren't any. There's no witnesses. That's illegal. That goes against the word of God. He's bringing up that they are breaking the law of God. Right in their faces. I like that. He said, I did nothing in secret. Why ask me? Ask the witnesses. Ask the people. If you've got witnesses, then bring them on forward. They will tell you exactly what I taught. If they're honest witnesses, ask them. Because it's not a secret. Everybody listen. One of the soldiers near Jesus slapped him across the face, either a slap or a backhand, either way. It's probably a good, those soldiers are pretty tough. So it probably just wasn't a real, just a little tap. He rebuked him for speaking to the high priest in that manner. You speak to this, the authority. This is a Roman soldier. He didn't care of what the high priest lives or dies, everybody. He just doesn't like Jesus saying that because Jesus just pointed out, we're having a trial here and there are no witnesses. What's going on, guys? What's going on? I spoke publicly. Bring out your witnesses. Let them tell you what I said. And so a guy backhanded him or slapped him, striking a prisoner before he is found guilty is forbidden in the word of God. It's forbidden in the law. And that's what the Sanhedrin is supposed to be. That's the rules of engagement for them. They're breaking the law. It's against the written word of God. Jesus calmly answers that man. And he calls their attention to the fact that what they are doing is illegal and contrary to the Mosaic law. See, if I've spoken evil, if I said something that was a lie or offensive and wrong, then tell me what it was. But if I didn't, you have no right to hit me. Why'd you hit me? By the way, according to, I didn't write them all down. According to the law of God, God's word, no trial is to begin at night. What time is it there? It's late at night, going into early in the morning. No trial is to ever begin at night. No trial is to begin at night, and it's not allowed to end at night. They're beginning it at night. They're going to end it in the middle of the night, right? They don't care about the law, do they? And Jesus knows that. A trial is never to begin and end on the same day. In other words, you're pushing this through too quickly. Something's wrong. We got to go through the witnesses. We got to take our time. You can't start it now and end it in 3 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours or even 10. It's got to go. And so they're breaking the law there. And you're not to, allowed to strike a prisoner who has not been proven guilty. Jesus will have six trials, some by the Jewish leaders and some by the Romans. All of them were illegal. Not one of them was legitimate. And at the end, there is no crime, and they crucify him. Verse 24 says, Annas sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. Annas says, I don't have anything. Maybe Caiaphas can find something. We got nothing on this guy. Meanwhile, back at the fireplace in the courtyard, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And we keep thinking, get out of there, Peter. Get out of there. They said, therefore, okay, you're at the fire. Fire's lighting up your face, right? You're all just talking. And you're noticing this one guy seems a little shy. He's Jewish. Clearly, he's a Jew. I don't know what he's doing here with the Roman soldiers and the slaves. And I don't know what the deal is, but somebody asked him. They said, therefore, to him, art thou not one of his disciples also? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priests, being a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? The language is the opposite. I know I saw you in the garden with him, didn't I? It's not, didn't I see you? But I'm sure I saw you in the garden, didn't I? And Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Matthew 26:74. Matthew writes this, then Peter began to curse and to swear. Curse meaning literally to call a curse down upon himself. He began to call a curse down upon himself and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately, right then and there, the rooster crowed. The words are just out of his mouth. Peter goes a step further than the first two denials. He calls a curse upon himself. There was a curse, a common curse that they called upon himself. And Bible teachers believe, the scholars say, this is probably the curse he used. And the language is, may I be cursed to the lowest hell if I've even met the man. Now that's Peter making sure that everybody knows you got the wrong guy. But I would die for you. Not if your neck is on the line, huh, Peter? The spirit is willing, everybody, but the flesh is weak. Mine, yours, and Peter's too. No matter how tough he thinks he is. May I be cursed to the lowest hell if I've even ever met the guy. Dr. Ironsides wrote this. There's a great difference between a backslider and an apostate. If we're Christians and we sin and we get caught up in sin, that is called what? Backsliding. And you say to some Christians, tell you, I've never done that. I don't know how to stop. Ironside writes this, a backslider is really a child of God who has failed, and the Lord will always restore him or her. Always. Because he paid the price for that sin. It's gone. An apostate is one who has never been born again at all. Some people pretend like they're walking with the Lord, and they're not. Judas is apostate. He's walking with Jesus, but he doesn't belong to Jesus. He's walking, but it's all act. It's all, he's doing it for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with his own heart. So there's an apostate and there's a backslider. A backslider is a child of God who has failed. Did Peter fail? Absolutely. Have you ever? Have I ever? Absolutely. And we confess to the Lord and he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Remember? We're still his. He's not going to lose one of us. But there is an apostate who has never been born again. You got Peter and you've got Judas. Peter wept over his sins and repented. While Judas admitted his sins, but never repented from it. He was sorry, and sorry, worldly sorrow, leads to nothing. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Peter repented. He still belonged to the Lord, and he confessed. Repenting means turned back to Jesus. Whereas Judas experienced regret and sorrow, but there was no repentance. Judas was an apostate. Peter was a backslider. It didn't have to happen. It's just that Jesus knew it would. Did he spit in Peter's eye and say, you're a loser. You're going to deny me three times, and to tell you the truth, you ain't worth anything I'm about. No, that's not love. He prayed for Peter before it even happened. Because Jesus knew it was coming. Peter didn't. And so he says this. I'll read it again. Matthew 26:40-41. He came to his disciples. He found them sleeping. He had been praying. Found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, all of them, but looking right at Peter, the one who said, I would die for you. He says, what? Could you not watch with me? The language is even 1 hour. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter fell down because he thought he could handle. That's when I fall. That's when you fall. That's when we all fall down, is when we're pretty sure we got this. He should have done what Jesus said. He should have ran. Does that mean he would have never sinned again? No, he'd probably be out there sinning, doing something else, but certainly not denying the one that he loves three times before the rooster crows.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com /studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.